As we have spent this month preparing for what we look forward to this week and spending time with family and being thankful, we have so much to be thankful for. In fact, gratitude is the natural expression of thanks in response to blessings, protection, or love. Gratitude was a way of life for the Hebrew people. When we consider the experiences which they faced, when they experienced things that were good, they thanked God for His goodness. They thanked God for His great deeds. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, beginning in verse 8 and reading through verse 13, is a portion of a psalm of thanksgiving. It's written, "O give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing to Him, sing praises to Him, speak of all His wonders, glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in His strength, seek His face continually. Remember His wonderful deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth. O seed of Israel, His servant, sons of Jacob, His chosen ones." But when difficult times were faced, the people praised God just the same. The gratitude of such is heard in the words of Job in Job chapter 1 and verse number 21, where Job said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Gratitude from the Israelites expressed the thankfulness that they had for God for His faithfulness to the covenant promises. They expressed thanks to Him for deliverance from enemies. Psalm 44, verses 1 through 8. Deliverance from death, Psalm 30, verses 8 through 12. They also expressed gratitude or thankfulness to God for the forgiveness of sin, Isaiah 12 and verse 1. They thanked God for answers to prayer, Psalm 28 and verse 6. The Hebrew people also expressed thankfulness to God concerning His compassion towards those who are afflicted or those who are oppressed, Psalm 72, verse 12. His justice and the executing of it, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, is praised. For continuing guidance, Psalm 32 and verse 8, they said thanks. Thanks be to God. Gratitude has always been a vital part of religion. Feasts and festivals were celebrated in thanksgiving to God. Thank offerings acknowledged blessings from God. Leviticus chapter 7, verses 12 and 13. Leviticus chapter 22 and verse 29 gives us some important words to remember about our giving of thanks. It reads concerning sacrifices, "When you sacrifice a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, you shall sacrifice it so that you may be accepted." In other words, offer your thanksgiving by the rules, by the guidance and standard of God, so that you may be accepted. Shouts of joy, Psalm 42, verse 4. Songs of praise, Psalm 149, verse 1. Music and dance, Psalm 150, verses 3 through 5, all added to the spirit of thanksgiving under the Old Testament directive. That gratitude of God's people for all that God had done and is doing for His people continued. It permeates the New Testament as well. The main object of thanksgiving in the New Testament is the love of God that is expressed in the redemptive work of Christ. The Apostle Paul thanked God for the very gift of His grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15. Paul thanked God for the ability to preach the gospel. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul was thankfully participating in the spiritual gifts, as he noted in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 18. Gratitude of Paul was expressed not only by himself concerning himself, but also concerning others. That gratitude for love and faithfulness among the believers pervades his letters. We see it coming up in Romans 6 and verse 17. We see it again in Ephesians chapter 1 two times, verse 15 and 16. We see it in the book of Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 5. We see it in Colossians 1, verse 3 and verse 4. And again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Paul over and over again expressed his gratitude to God for the people with which he worked. The early Christians expressed thanks, guided by their leader, guided by their teacher. They gave thanks for their deliverance from sin through Christ, Romans chapter 6. They gave thanks to God for His indescribable gift of grace, which gives us the victory in Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57. And they gave thanks for the faith of fellow Christians, Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. And so this evening I want to spend just a little bit of saying thank you. Thank you for some things that I see that I believe are evidence of your faith. Thank you. I am thankful for your thanksgiving. Everything that is good comes from God. James chapter 1 and verse 17. In referring to God, Paul said, "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needs anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." Acts 17, verse 25. And so our giving is rooted, it's grounded in God's giving. We are God's offspring, created in His image, Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. Acts chapter 17 and verse 28, then because we are in His image created, we have characteristics that are like His. God gives because God is a giver. Man learns to give as man learns to be like God. But man's giving is so different from God's in many instances. Man's giving is either grudge giving, duty giving, or thanksgiving. Grudge giving is that giving that says, "I have to." It comes from a feeling of being constrained to do something. Duty giving says, "I ought to. I feel obligated to give, and because I feel obligated to give, I give." Thanksgiving, however, says, "I want to give. I recognize that I have a duty, that I have a responsibility to give, but I want to." It comes from a heart of gratitude, a heart that is full of gratitude. As the late Glenn Posey wrote, "The gift without the giver is bare." The gift without the giver is bare. God's looking for the giver to involve himself in the gift which he offers to God and to others. Our thanksgiving ought to be a part of who we are, but also express whose we are. Asking then a question that Paul gave to the Corinthian brethren in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, we ask, "What do you have that you did not receive?" What do you have that you did not receive? A good mate? A good home? Good health? Loving children? A good congregation with which to be associated? faithful brethren, and on the list goes. What is it that you have that you did not receive? Everything which we have is from God. So the giving of our time, our money, our energy, our abilities, and even our influence should be rendered from a heart that is full of thanksgiving to God. When we do render those things, we are in effect saying to our fellow man as well as to God, thanks. Thank you. Thank you for your thanksgiving. I am thankful for your heart. It is a heart that has put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. You have clothed yourselves with sympathy for the needs and the sufferings of others. You're ready to listen and to respond to others. For the most part, you also value everyone equally. Because you have clothed yourselves in such, most are gentle, not harsh in dealing with others, but rather patient with others. Thank you for your heart. I am thankful for your attitude. The attitude of gratitude is characterized by rejoicing, by praying, and by giving of thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Mark Posey brought all of this together in saying, the action of rejoicing reveals your attitude of submission of mind to Christ. The action of prayer reveals your attitude of submission of heart to God. The action of thanksgiving reveals your attitude of submission of will to God. The attitude is everything to the inner life. And if your attitude speaks to your inner life, it is something for which we are thankful. Thank you for your attitude of gratitude. I am thankful for your notice of me. After Ruth returned from working in the field of Boaz that first day, Naomi asked her a question. Where did you glean today? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. Ruth 2 and verse 19. That word notice it come up one other time previously in Ruth chapter 2, verse number 10, as a matter of fact. Ruth 2 and verse 10 reads, "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?'" In Ruth 2 and verse 10, there's an interesting play on words between the verb notice and the noun foreigner. Unfortunately, in English, we cannot successfully reproduce this play on words. The term used for notice means to do or to give an investigation of what is unknown, identifying and then correlating information. The term used for foreigner in this instance is a person who does not belong to the nation of Israel by ancestry. And so both words have a common root which must have meant to be strange, to be unknown. Well, Daniel Block commented that Boaz had dignified this destitute woman from a foreign land and treated her as a significant person on par socially with his hired and presumably Israelite field workers. But Ruth, who was obviously extremely self-conscious about her alien status, cannot believe that Boaz's indifference to the fact that she is a Moabite. just as Ruth found a friend in Boaz, because Boaz took notice of her, some have taken notice of me, and some have taken notice of my family. You've done the investigating part to come to know who we are and what we are about, what we like, and your investigation has paid off. You've become great friends. Thank you. Thank you for noticing me. I am thankful for your kindness. A recent red-eye trip home revealed as I entered the front door that there was a nice new framed letter directly in front of all who enter my mother's house. That framed letter is titled, "Cancer is So Limited." It came to her by way of two who worship with us, who have dealt with cancer in their own family. The next morning, as I retrieved the mail, there were three envelopes with the return address of Waverly, Tennessee. Continuous are the stories being passed on of folks who are praying for me and for my family. Your kindness brings to mind the words of Philemon, verses 4 and 5, where Paul wrote, "I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith with which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints." What Paul had heard of Philemon, "I have seen. I have seen your love. I have seen your faith toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. I've seen it in your kindness, your kind dealings with others. Thank you for your kindness. I am thankful for your faith." Paul told the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater." The use of the word "ought," translated as "must" by some translations, implies a moral obligation and a personal duty to give thanks to God for the brethren. Paul was obligated to give thanks, but it was an obligation of which he recognized his duty, and therefore he wanted to give thanks. In fact, he said it is right for us to do so. And it's right for us to give that thanks because Christians are growing. They're growing in their faith. Paul was continually giving thanks to God because he saw evidence that the Christians were growing in their faith. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for the growth of your faith. I am thankful for your union with Christ. Paul used two figures to announce such a union in Colossians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." A Christian can walk in Him, walk in Christ, by keeping his roots deep, Paul said, as having been firmly rooted. And secondly, by building his life up in Christ, and now being built up in Him, Paul said, and established in your faith. Being established in your faith means or speaks of a consistency, a firmness, a solidity of one's relationship with Christ that then affects all his relationships. Paul added, then just as you were instructed. To say that the Christians have been taught to do this. The Christians have been taught to unite themselves to Christ, with Christ, and to do so by being rooted in, being built upon, and being firm in Christ. The goal of such faith is eternal life, for which all the saved are thankful. Therefore, Christians should keep on exceeding, keep on excelling, keep on abounding with gratitude. Paul put it this way, overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 2 and verse 7. The Christian life then is characterized by gratitude. Gratitude should be demonstrated both by word and deed. This gratitude proves one's faith and the foundation upon which their faith is built. It can prove the foundation of one's union with Christ. Richard Millett noted, "Faith and the nature of a Christian foundation are often invisible, but thanksgiving is a visible response to the grace of God in our lives." Thanksgiving is the visible response by which we can recognize one's union with Christ. Thank you for your union with Christ. I am thankful for your love. According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 3, we noted it just a moment ago, Paul said that he was obligated to give thanks to God both for the faith and the love of the brethren. The love of the Christians toward one another in Thessalonica was increasing. The balance then between the growing in faith toward God and growing in love toward their fellow believers affirms the growth of the church. As we grow in our love and faith towards God, our love for our fellow man ought to increase. As we grow in our love toward fellow believers, our love for God ought to increase as well. Paul says there's a balance there. Each and every member in Thessalonica was growing in love for one another. And it caused Paul to say, I am obligated to give God thanks because of the growth I see. Thank you for your love. Because the expression of gratitude is tied so closely to the response of faith, Paul would encourage believers everywhere to give thanks in all things. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. He commanded Christians to pray with thanksgiving. Philippians 4 and verse 6, and repeated in Colossians 4 and verse 2. He said to pray and to give thanks in all things, but pray and give thanks in the name of Christ, who has made all thanksgiving possible. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. We all have reason to be thankful. We all have reason to express thanks in Christ. The Apostle Paul was thankful for the faith and the love of fellow Christians. He was thankful to God for the growth of Christians. He was also thankful to God for the blessings which he himself received because of the Christians. What do you have for which to be thankful? What do you have for which to be thankful? Have you expressed your thanksgiving to God? Have you expressed your thanksgiving to God for His redemptive work in Christ? Because God has blessed man by telling him about spiritual blessings which He's made available to man. God has provided protection for man from sin and from Satan. And God has shown His love for man And each of these, God's blessings, God's protection, and God's love for man are revealed in Christ. So that everyone who believes and will repent of sin, confess the name of Christ, and be baptized, can express their thanksgiving to God. If we are indeed thankful to God for what He has done for us in Christ, the best way to show our gratitude is by obedience. One of the first indicators of departure from God is a lack of thanksgiving. Romans chapter 1 and verse 21 and following, God turned some over because they were not thankful. They didn't express thanks. Maybe this evening you need to express thanks. Maybe it's thanks to God. Maybe it's thanks to a fellow brother or sister in Christ. Maybe it's thanks to someone somewhere that you have not expressed yet. Why not show your gratitude? Why not show your gratitude to God for His great blessings by being obedient to His will as we stand and as we sing?